This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Right, so it has now, in fact, been interesting to note that more renaming efforts have been underway in the Eastern Cape, rather. We've seen two secondary airports and one big city receiving new official names. Arts and Culture Minister Natim Tetwa recognized the new names by publication in the Government Gazette. All the new, the newly named places are in the Eastern Cape, as I've mentioned, and that includes a Port Elizabeth Airport, which is now called Chief David Stearman International Airport, East London Airport, which is now called the King Paolo Airport. For more on this, we're joined on the line now on this renaming of these airports and cities by Acting Director General for the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, Vusithemba Ndima. Vusithemba, thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ntokozo, and also thank you to the listeners.
Well, let's talk about the process of renaming these airports as well as the city of Port Elizabeth. There have been some questions asked about whether or not proper kind of public participation, public consultations took place in order to properly effect these renamings.
Yes, I mean, the process is always undertaken, Ntokozo. And it starts, for instance, let me just indicate to you that the South African Geographical Names Council receives proposed geographical names submitted by state departments, sometimes statutory bodies, provincial governments, municipalities, and other bodies, as well as individuals. But before they are received by the South African Geographical Names Council, the council ensures that the necessary consultative processes were followed. Mm-hmm. And if they are happy and they've satisfied themselves with the consultative processes, is then that they start making recommendations to the minister. I also want to clarify this. The South African Geographical Names Council does not always recommend for the minister to approve, but at some stage they return the names back, they reject them, more particularly if they feel very much dissatisfied with the processes that were followed.
Mm. So you're saying there was consensus all around and the council unanimously voted in agreement with the renaming of these sites?
Yes, in terms of the council, yes, the council agreed on all these names that have been gazetted. But I also wanted to just caution you, Ntokozo. At the council level, yes, there was a consensus. But I wanted also to clarify something when it comes to consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Because consultation, it does not necessarily mean that there will be a consensus. But it would mean that things been discussed robustly. Of course, ultimately, decisions are taken. But at the council level, yes, there was a consensus.
The list, I wasn't able to go through the entire names, but it does seem quite long. What was the cost of renaming these different sites, as well as the city of Port Elizabeth?
Look, I wouldn't just be able to quantify rands and cents at this point in time. Remember, we have got costs that are aligned to what we do as a national department. For instance, we've got an act, the South African Geographical Names Council Act, which establishes the council. And our responsibility is to pay for the council travels, their accommodation, their honorarium. That's the kind of cost that we carry as a department. Now, of course, there would be post-gazetting costs. Those costs are about signage, new signage, of course. Once the entire process has been finalized, there will have to be a new signage for all these cities, airports, and towns.
Sorry to interject there, Vusithemba, but shouldn't the cost implications be something that is quantified well in advance before we get to the post-gazetting stage. So at least you should be able to, you know, tell the listeners how much you expect it to cost before even we talk about the signage.
No, it's not what needs to happen.
But don't you consider
it could be an ideal, but I think first and foremost, you must understand our responsibility as the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture.
Mm.
We have got the responsibility of transforming the naming landscape in this country, of decolonizing the naming landscape in this country. If we were to then go and start talking to people about the cost implications, you won't see any transformation taking place.
But that is a very important question to ask. What is it going to cost for us to change all of these signs and to change all of these sites? This is something that should be part of the consultation process. For instance, everyone who was a part of those conversations, including traditional leaders and residents in the Eastern Cape, should have been able to make an informed decision. And that includes knowing how much it's going to cost the taxpayer to effect all of these changes. So in essence, you held consultation process with very little, important information lacking.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
The idea here is about the transforming the heritage landscape. It's not about anything that has to do with transformation. It will always have cost implications, but it would not be possible that each and every action that's going to be taken, you would come with a clear, a precise indication of what the cost implications are going to be. But maybe let me just get back to the point that you are asking. You know, you are talking about the documentation that will be used or that are being used in those cities.
Mm.
Documents are always there. And then sometimes you have to buy new ones and to do the letterhead. So it's not like because now we've made this change, people must just throw away all the papers that they have that are written, say, for instance, Port Elizabeth. But people must then begin to plan that when I buy my next batch of papers, I would then have to use new letterhead. It's the same thing with the signage. The cost will go to signage. Have got a particular lifespan. Once that signage is no longer, say for instance, the structural integrity of that signage is gone, there's nothing wrong with then changing that signage and then use the new name. So sometimes we feel like every time people use this economistic argument,
mm-hmm.
it's actually hiding something deeper than that, which is ideology behind the name changes.
You know, that's
what this department is about.
Yeah.
It's about ensuring that we restore our names that predate colonial era, apartheid era. And if that comes with the cost, so be it, because it has to happen.
Yeah, I'm not in any way discrediting that argument. It's a very valid argument. I am more speaking to and this is the point that I'm making, people have to be informed. This is information that the public needs to know, which means that even at the start, the inception of this entire process, you should have some sort of ledger that accounts for how much everything is going to cost for people to know, to have this information. While it's important for us to push this transformative agenda, people must know that that's how much it costs to change that billboard, that signage or whatever. They need to know that information. It's important. And I don't think it's an information that should be detailed in the aftermath or post-gazetting something. It should be something that is told and publicly disseminated at the onset. That's just how I think it should be done for purposes of transparency and accountability and the likes.
Look, what you are saying, it's, I wouldn't just totally say, look, I'm just throwing it away. But all that I'm saying is that even if we were to sit down and do that exercise, I do not see us coming up with something that would be definitive. It will never be definitive. Of course, people know that changes come with costs, and they've happened in other parts of the world. They've happened here in South Africa. If you look at you know, Limpopo sure. today. They yeah. were the first ones to lead this process of transformation. They did it very well, and I'm happy that Eastern Cape has followed suit, that they've actually done this transformation. It will always come with cost, but it would not always be possible that we can predict what the costs are going
to
be.
All right. Wussi, thank you so much. We are going to have to leave it there. We've run out of time. That is the Acting Director General at the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture on the conversation to us about the renaming efforts there in the Eastern Cape. Marking the end of the program today, let's get your latest Power News headlines and, of course, a Power Lunch on the other side of that.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.